ring if you're ready to care. Let the podcast begin. Oh, let's talk power, let's talk speed. Hosted by the one and only We Too Deep. Turn it up loud, feel the power in your seat. This is Slappin' Neat, yeah, Slappin' Neat.
What is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. We got a good episode for you tonight. As we break down some more of this world known as professional wrestling, just a run through of what the agenda is on this episode. We got some opening thoughts. I got some thoughts on Monday Night Raw from yesterday. I got some thoughts on WWE's booking, even after SummerSlam, and we're gonna go into that. We're gonna go into some other thoughts that I have on the product. We're gonna go into our questions from the Discord. We got a couple there that are going to be some good discussions. We got our Thirsty Tuesday bracket continuing. And then we got some final thoughts where I break down my opinion on how WWE, through these partnerships, should structure themselves. And my opinion going through into the future. But with that being said, thank you all for listening. If you are listening on the audio podcast, whether it's Spotify, Google Podcast, Amazon, however you're listening via audio, thank you for that. Follow, subscribe, whatever the wording on that particular app is, and it would be wonderful if you could leave us a review on that episode. If you are tuning in afterwards, On the YouTube version, though it is solely, you know, audio only, the YouTube video that pops up, if you are listening to that, like, share, subscribe that channel. I'm sure you guys have noticed, if you do it that way, that the branding has changed a little bit for the channel. We have changed it to Slapping Meat Entertainment, as we have added Slapping Meat Gridiron, the football show, the NFL-based podcast. We got a great episode of that show we just had on Friday, where I break down my preseason predictions and talk about, you know, the debate between Cam Newton versus Jalen Hurts that sort of went on. This upcoming Friday, another great episode planned as I break down what I consider the greatest dynasty of all time, the New England Patriots between the years 2000 and 2019, and why I believe no other team in history or in the future will ever repeat or has ever repeated what those 20 years of dominance were, And so tune in on Friday to the Slapping Me Gridiron podcast as we break that down. But let's jump into this one. Some other housekeeping that I wanted to touch, and this is sort of like the big first segment, is going forward, right? I say this a lot, that I'm not into the podcasting space for viewership. That I want to be a place that can spark conversation and can spark, you know, my creative ability to put out a product that's different than what I feel everyone else in the wrestling space is putting out. I feel a lot of wrestling podcasts basically are run pretty much the same and in a limited news, you know, industry, there's not a lot to talk about to begin with. A lot of what we call news just isn't worth putting on air, in my opinion. And so for a lot of what really gets talked about in this space are these rumors, right? Rumors and dirt sheets. And what that essentially ended up doing is it's putting the opinions of, if I'm being quite honest, a lot of people who probably don't have any idea what they're talking about. That it's put them as sort of like the influencers of the wrestling world, and it's given them this microphone that I don't think a lot of them know anything to do with, like how to handle that. And a lot of their opinions are just the same thing. And so what I've noticed is there's an echo chamber among these people where, depending on what side or who their audience is, they all kind of say the same thing. Now, the truth never changes. So if it's the truth, it's going to sound the same. So I understand that. But I think the way a lot of wrestling podcasts are presented is, here's the show, but the bigger content, the bigger views come on discussing like the Saudi Arabia stuff, like the potential of WrestleMania going to Saudi. Everyone and their mother has an opinion on that, and no one talks about the current product. A lot of what really gets views in this area is the rage bait stuff on Brock Lesnar coming back, or and stuff like that, the hot takes, and I've explained this plenty of times, that's not what I want this show to be. I don't want to be known as the guy that does hot takes and screams into the mic. I want to be the guy that when I speak, it's educational, or at least sound like we can have a conversation, and there's logic and there's fleshed out thoughts that everyone can have an opinion on, and we can have actual discussion. So with that being said, that's what I'm going to continue to have this podcast be going forward. I don't care about rumors. We're not going to talk about them here. I don't care about the behind the scenes stuff. I don't care about, like, I don't, we're not going to talk about it, right? I don't care about, you know, the business side of the business. What we're going to talk about here is what is shown on television, right? It's part of the reason why I think I preferred Vince McMahon's booking up until about 2018, 2019, when it became just lame. But Vince McMahon, when he booked, he had this philosophy: if it didn't happen on TV, we're not going to acknowledge it. Because he kept WWE in its show within its own universe, right? It would be like talking about the DCU or the MCU as if that universe existed at the same time as our current actual reality, right? And it doesn't, right? You don't see anyone who break down Star Wars, because there are Star Wars podcasts out there and stuff like that, right? You don't see these type of people break down Star Wars as if Luke Skywalker lives in our existence and in the universe that we live in, right? And so I don't understand why people can't just watch wrestling the way it is intended to be, which is entertainment. It's a show, and it exists within its own universe, with its right. And so that's how we're going to treat the product, right? I don't care if Saudi gets WrestleMania. We probably should have expected it 10 years ago when they announced that they were working together, right? I don't care about the business side of the business, because really, it's none of my business. Me posting my opinion on that, whether it's a positive or a negative, it's not going to change the way TKO runs the business. So why waste my breath talking about it? So what I am going to break down is the product that gets shown on the television. With that being said, we're strictly going to try, and we may deviate a little bit from this. I'm going to strictly try to keep this as a WWE podcast, because I don't watch AEW on a regular basis in a way that would want to break down the product that doesn't sound very similar, you know, right? And so we're going to break down the product that is on TV. I don't care about the behind the scenes. I don't care if Karrion Kross is working us or not. I'm not going to talk about it. I don't have an opinion. If it is a work, I want to be worked. I don't understand the desire of these wrestling fans who want the surprises spoiled for them, so they pay for Meltzer's magazine or newsletter, or they pay for Sean Ross Sapp's Patreon page. I don't understand why people want the show spoiled for them, right? I want to be able to be surprised. I want to be able to be shocked. I want to be able to not have the show spoiled so that I can enjoy the show for the show. Now, spoilers don't really bother me, but it would really be great if we didn't have these dirt sheets. I'm going to straight up say it. The dirt sheets are ruining wrestling. The dirt sheets are ruining wrestling, right? And this sort of goes into sort of like a backstage thing that on this topic I'll address shortly, where there's like a backstage thing where like everyone's upset because they're working the locker room now. Well, the boys in the locker room and the girls in the locker room are the ones running to the dirt sheets giving out, you know, information. So they have to work the locker room, because y'all don't know how to keep your mouth shut and protect the business. The dirt sheets are ruining wrestling. They are. And I used to be a big dirt sheet reader, right? But the dirt sheets are ruining wrestling. They're and it's not even really the dirt sheets. What's really ruining wrestling are the guys like Sean Ross Sapp and the people at Fightful, who act like they're greater than anything else, and well, we got this special knowledge that the normal people don't have, right? And they think that they're special because they're, again, we've placed these people as like the influencers of the wrestling space, and a lot of them are just dorks in their bedroom, just like I am. Like, I'm not gonna sit here and act like I'm special, that I'm not a dork in my bedroom talking into a microphone, right? But I just enjoy wrestling, bro. Why do we gotta ruin it? Why do we gotta have a wrestling journalism? We're not a real sport. We don't need to have journalism that covers the ins and outs of the sport, because we're not a real sport. We're television. It's a television show. Enjoy it for being what it is, right? And so with that being said, we're going to move into some of my thoughts on the current WWE product. And the first thing that I got to say is, you know, the name of this episode is WWE's Future is Bleak, or something along the lines like that, right? And a lot of that problem is the male roster, the male WWE roster, the men, right? They have very little star power past the current regime, the future outside of Bron Breakker, maybe like an Obafemi, maybe a Javon Evans, but we don't have anyone else, right? I can't put my finger on anyone right now in NXT other than Oba and Javon that I'm like, yeah, this is the young future. I think Miles Bourne is okay, but he's just now breaking out. Tavion Heights is good. I don't know if he has that it factor. Right, but we look at the current regime that we have on the roster, and part of me wonder, like Triple H even said this in Unreal, where he feels like, you know, the women, the ladies go into the PC and they pick it up like it's super quick, which is why we're able to have a Tiffany Stratton and a Roxanne Perez already on the main roster, and a Stephanie Vaquer and a Julia, who are a little bit older, but still, you know, not, you know, but right, and so there's a reason why you can have a women's division that didn't have a Bayley, Becky, or Charlotte. You wouldn't have a men's division if Roman, Seth, LA Knight, CM Punk, Drew McIntyre, these guys are getting up in age. If you took them out of the product, I mean, you have Dominic Mysterio, and that's really about it. Obafemi, Bron Breakker, and that's about it on the roster. And there's really, you know, I've even said this within the NXT space, where like Oba has no one to talk, you know, to talk or talk. Oba has no one to challenge for the title, right? And so we, right, and we'll talk about that here in the next thought, because I like where they're headed with it. But I just, the male superstar problem, there isn't any on the roster, whereas on the female side, you got waiting for you in NXT, Jada Parker, Blake Monroe, Sol Ruka, Zarya, someone like a Carmen Petrovic, even someone like, you know, Zeta Steel all the way down in Evolve, or Callie Armstrong, that are, you know, these women are challenging, and they're going to be, like, the women's roster is stacked. They can remove Charlotte and Becky and Bayley and Liv and Bianca and Jade and Naomi, this cast that's running it right now, in 3 to 4 years, they're not going to be needed, because you're going to have a Rhea, a Tiffany, a Sol, a Jada Parker, a, you get what I'm saying? They're going to fill in the gaps. Whereas when Roman and Seth and, you know, the main Cody and LA Knight and Jey Uso, these guys are all up in their 40s or early, you know, late 30s, early 40s, Solo, even Jacob Fatu, right? These are older people. They're not going to be able to run the business, right? Outside of Bron Breakker and Obafemi and Javon Evans, who's going to fill in that gap is the question, right? And so I think WWE, which is why I think they are using, you know, WWE ID, because I've been saying this, to be honest for you, like, and I've had this thought for about the last 9 to 10 years, that the indie scene for the women was much more, there was a lot more potential in the women's indie scene than the men's indie scene. I didn't see a lot of superstars in the men's indie scene over the last 10 years. Whereas I've seen superstars on the indie scene and the women's, a lot of them are on AEW or WWE's roster. JC Jane was one of them, right? You know, you got a lot of these girls. There's a lot of girls on the indie scene now that I think there's a lot more potential in the women's indie scene now than there is men, right? I'm not saying there aren't men that have potential, but I think there's a lot more women with potential than males. The next thing, I mentioned, you know, NXT, and I like where they're going with this Obafemi thing, because I think they're finally going where I thought they would go, which is Javon versus Oba, your David and Goliath story. And that's where they need to go. And I don't exactly remember back in January when I said that story was going to happen. I originally had thought, you know, stand and deliver. I know that. But it appears Oba's going to hold the title. I think Javon takes it from him probably, You know, I could see Heatwave. I could see them waiting till, you know, Rumble season again, possibly next Mania. But I think here soon, Javon Evans, Oba Femi is going to be where they're headed. And it's where they need to go. Oba's going to get caught up. There's not much more for him to do. Oba needs a legitimate challenger. And I don't think they really have something for because the way they built Oba, they built him to be unbeatable. And there's no one that's believable to beat Oba, right? Other than the David and Goliath story of Javon Evans, right? Let's talk about Monday Night Raw. Let's talk about this real quick. Monday Night Raw last night was a thing that happened. I took some notes, not a lot, but I still think overall, I think the show's pretty mid, dude. Like, I make the joke, like, we need to make WWE watchable again, because I just, Raw, SmackDown, it's unpalatable. It's one of these things where it's sort of background noise to me at this point, right? So the first thing I want to talk about is Sami Zayn. Let's start with Sami Zayn, because there seems to be mixed opinions among the wrestling universe on how we should think of Sami Zayn. I see the people, you know, on social media that say Sami Zayn is world championship material. I see the people on the opposite side, probably a little bit larger in number, I would say, that say that he's not. Now, my personal opinion, I don't think that he is. I'm going to say this, though, and it's probably going to get me slapped around by Kara in the Discord. She's going to go off and be like, oh, how dare you say this? I don't think Sami Zayn's all that bad. This underdog babyface gimmick works on Sami Zayn. Here's why I don't like it. It's the same thing we saw with Cody Rhodes 2 years ago, with Jey Uso this past Mania, and that we're going to see with Sami. So it's going to be three Manias in a row where the main event or one of the big matches or one of the big matches with your Rumble winner is that underdog, I got to pull myself up by my bootstraps, build my way up type storylines. And it's copy, paste, repeat. Right, which I've already been against, right? Everyone remembers me back last December, this past January, standing on this platform alone, saying don't get on the Sami Zayn train. Or excuse me, don't... Well, I'm saying that now, don't get on the Sami Zayn train. But I was saying back then, last December, this past January, don't get on the Jey Uso train. The Jey Uso train's going to be a really short ride. And it's going to be for the moment. They're going to get their WrestleMania moment, which really wasn't all that loud, to be honest with you, because you started the show and people were still piling into the arena. Right? And I just... Here, let me tell you what really irritates me. What really irritates me about the conversation around Sami Zayn is double standards, right? Because, and it's not one particular person. I've seen a lot of the same people who were saying WWE would be stupid not to put the title on Jey Uso because they can get their moment that they market for. Say the same thing about Cody Rhodes, they did it for the moment, right? Say the same thing about Jey Uso, they did it for the moment. Say they should make LA Knight champion for the moment, CM Punk for the moment. But the second that WWE continues that trend and says, hey, we're going to put the world title on Sami Zayn because when he wins Royal Rumble in Saudi, that's going to be a marketable moment. When he wins the world title for the first time in his main roster career, that's going to be a moment and it's going to get a reaction. Right, it's the same booking as Jey Uso, and it's okay when they do it for Jey Uso. It's okay when they do it for Cody Rhodes. It's okay if they were to do it for LA Knight or for CM Punk, it would be okay. But the second they do it for Sami Zayn, because you don't necessarily like it's now old and tired. To me, that feels like a double standard. Now, I'm going to sit here and say, I agree with you. It's old and tired booking. But I'm at least consistent because I thought it was old and tired booking when they did it for Jey Uso. How long have I been calling out this year? How many times have I said, we need to stop with the cookie cutter baby face that they have? With the sympathy gimmick, right? Because that's what this is. I've been calling that out all year. So I'm at least consistent with it. I'll agree with you, it's bad booking. My issue is that there's a double standard. It's okay for Jey Uso to get sympathy. It's okay if you did it for Tiffany Stratton and Rhea Ripley and Cody Rhodes and LA Knight and everybody else they do it for. But Sami Zayn, now it's bad booking. We got to stop we got these influencers who make podcasts, or I guess what they can call podcasts. A lot of them make clips now, and they don't actually do full-length podcasts. Again, because they don't want to have actual conversation. They want you to take their opinion, and that's their echo chamber they want you to stay in. Right? And so they'll do clips. Right? And the clip they put out for Sami Zayn is, this is bad booking. But 6 to 8 months ago when they did the same type of booking was done for Jey Uso. Oh, it was a great thing for Jey Uso. That's how you market. You're going to get everyone yeeting, as if we're not going to get the same response out of a Sami Zayn, right? But this is why on Friday's episode, Fantasy Book Friday, we're going to break down, I'm going to break down, why I believe having Cody Rhodes win WrestleMania 40 in hindsight was the worst decision to do, and why that WrestleMania really screwed up the booking where we're at right now, and how I would have fixed it, how I would have booked going for WrestleMania 40 going forward. That's what we're gonna talk about on Friday with Fantasy Book Friday, right? My next thought on Monday Night Raw is going to be controversial. And that is, in my opinion, notice I said that, in my opinion, I could be wrong to you. You may find other things interesting. In my opinion, the only interesting thing happening right now on Monday Night Raw on a week-to-week basis is the story between Bayley and Lyra Valkyria. I could care less about how they open the show. We'll talk about that here in a minute. Right? I could care less about that. I could really care less about the women's tag division. The women's main card, main event world championship picture on Monday Night Raw. We're going to end this segment with that because I got some questions about that. But I'm confused with it. The only thing that I liked in the entire show the last 2 weeks was the Bayley and Lyra promo segments. They lasted probably combined 3.5 minutes over the last 2 weeks. But those were the only 3.5 minutes that were anywhere close to being entertaining to me. Right? What they're doing between Bayley and Lyra is going to be a banger, however they do it. Now, if you go back and listen to last episode, I break down how I would book it. I think, and I've got some feedback saying that was really good booking, that WWE should listen to it and implement it. I liked what they did yesterday. I did. I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're teasing us. I don't think right now they have us thinking Bayley's going to be the one that turns. I don't think that. I think that's all a ruse. I could be wrong. I was wrong all along saying Bianca attacked Jade. I can be wrong. I think I'm right on this. I think Lyra is going to be the one that turns. But I could be wrong. Right? Something that's interesting to me that I think we could do is Bayley, if we remember NXT Bayley, because we go on this role model thing, And remember, Izzy, the Bailey girl, the little child, well, she's 18 years old now. And she's a pro wrestler. And I'm pretty sure she's wrestled in some WWE ID matches. Not saying they sign her, but I think it would be interesting if they brought her in for a segment to try to get Bailey her mojo back. And maybe Izzy gets attacked by Lyra or something. I don't know. But I like where this could potentially go. The only other thing that I like about this show is Becky Lynch. I don't think the promos are the best, but Becky Lynch is doing something that I wish every other veteran in the locker room would do. She's actively putting over unused talent. Maxine Dupri had zero purpose any other week of the show, but this week she had purpose. They put her in the ring against a veteran like Becky Lynch, and Becky was going to win and retain the title, but putting someone over doesn't mean that you let them win. Becky put over Maxine by just having the match, and Maxine put on a decent match. It wasn't like a spectacle. This wouldn't have been a 7-star in the Tokyo Dome, right? But this was a decent match, and Maxine looked like she belonged in the ring, and that's something that I love about Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch puts over young talent. She put over Lyra. That's why her and Bayley are number one and two to me. But even with that, Charlotte came in and put over Tiffany, right? So here's what I'm trying to say. When you got three of the horsewomen putting over talent right now, I 100% believe Alexa and Charlotte being world tag champions, right, or tag team women's champions, is entirely designed to put someone over. Not exactly sure who, but it's going to put someone over. Right? Because they're veterans, right? And you got three of the four horsewomen putting over young talent this year. And then you got the fourth one traveling the world taking away indie belts from indie companies. There's a difference, right? There's a reason why I don't like Mercedes Moné. Who has she put over this year? Who has she put over since she got fired from WWE? The only person she's ever talked about is herself. But that's why I like Bayley. That's why I like Becky. That's why I like Charlotte. They put over the future of the women's division. And the women's division is going to be fine. Though the storyline in the main event scene for that is interesting. We'll talk about that in a minute. On the other side, and I know I kind of just talked about this, but the men's anything on Raw right now is just trash. Right? It's essentially booking for that is copy, paste, repeat. Dominic's in Judgment Day's involved in some backstage segment. And then Dominic has a match against, you know, whether it's Penta or Dragon Lee or, right, and El Grande is going to show up. Or AJ Styles, right, and El Grande is going to show up. It's the same kind of booking every single week. And then the main event scene is 100% leading us to War Games. For the third year in a row, we sort of take a long road period of time from Mania to War Games, where nothing really happens among that story, and you get Super Friends and the Super Baby Faces, right? This four-way match in Paris seems very obvious what's going to happen. Again, I could be wrong, but it seems very obvious what's going to happen. Braun and Bronson are going to attack. It's going to be a 3-on-3. That's going to set up who's going to be the fourth man on each team, and we'll probably get Roman on the good guys, and we'll probably get, who knows, on Team Seth. Right? And then, I know I'm in the minority on this, but this El Grande Americano thing, it's just really stupid. I know it's over in Mexico. I get it. But the gimmick's stupid. Keep it in Mexico, honestly, because that's where it belongs. Keep it on AAA, but it doesn't belong on Monday Night Raw. And it's because it ruined Gable. It's going to ruin whoever else is under the... we know Kaiser's one of them. And I think the other ones are Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And it's dumb, dude. It's stupid. It's ruining talent that you could build in other stories in other places. Stupid. But that match told me one other thing. AJ Styles, I'm 100% certain on Saturday, will get involved by attacking Dominic at Triple Mania. I'm 100% convinced of that. Right? I think AJ Styles shows up at Triple Mania. And then the last thing that I want to talk about Raw is what happened to Naomi. We didn't get any information that I can remember about what happened to Naomi. And then I read something before I get on the microphone tonight that says that she's going to be gone for a long period of time. She's the champion. What are we going to do? Are we taking the title opportunity away from Stephanie Vaquer? Are we stripping the belt off of Naomi? Are we running a tournament? What's going on? Or is this storyline as well where someone came back and attacked Naomi? Because that's what my brain first went to, right? But I'm confused with what we're doing here because you got EO in the picture. You got Roxanne trying to be in the picture. You got Liv, when she comes back, going to want to be in the picture. You got Naomi as champion, but we don't know what's going on with her. You got Vaquer, who gets a match. What's her name? EO, who's supposed to have a match. Rhea, who wants the winner of EO. And we got a bunch of confusion right now. And that's not good booking. All right, speaking of booking, let's move on to the next little segment. Why does WWE's booking still last? Because there's something that got lost in the noise of SummerSlam, right? Everyone was so busy talking about the banger of a main event we had between Cena and Cody, and then the Seth, you know, cashing in and Brock returning. It got lost within the noise, which is what I think Triple H wanted. By the way, he fed you again, right? You got hungry, so you got fed at Elimination Chamber, right? You got fed at Elimination Chamber with the Cena heel turn, right? And that feeding was supposed to take you all the way to Money in the Bank, or really SummerSlam, right? So then you get the SummerSlam. He fed you again. You were starving. He fed you again with Brock Lesnar coming out and Seth, and that's supposed to take you to next Mania, or probably Chamber next year, right? You see these tricks Triple H pulls off? But what gets lost in the noise of all the surprises is the booking still sucks. Booking for pops every 5 to 6 months is bad booking. There's nothing that's good on television right now, on WWE television, outside of NXT. Nothing on Raw's really, again, outside of Lyra and Bayley, to me, on Raw. And then on SmackDown, there's even, I mean, I like Solo, but the story's not all that entertaining. Right? You throw in some pop matches, you throw in stuff that gets the crowd hype in the arena, and that's supposed to, like, make us forget that the show actually sucks. And it's not going to work for me. I'm going to call it out. The show sucks. Right? I don't want to see a 2-hour show with 5 or 6 wrestling matches and nothing that happens on a Monday Night Raw that actually means anything. The promos from the main event guys, Punk and Heyman and Bronson and Braun and all of them, They're the same every single week. It's boring, copy-paste, repeat television. Nothing is that entertaining outside of Bayley and Lyra, in my opinion. Which leads me to the last thing. WWE desperately needs to do something with their roster, whether it's a shakeup, whether it's another trades scenario, whether it's a draft. I think the draft would be easy. But what I really would like is just, hey, we have a roster on the main roster. People are just going to show up. and you may get Jay twice. Like, we're going to put on 4 or 5 or 6 good stories, and that's what's going to be told across Raw and SmackDown. Rather than saying, well, Cody belongs here on SmackDown, and he's a SmackDown guy, right? I think we just need no brand split. Tell stories across the shows. You do 5 or 6 matches of PLE anyway. Have 5 or 6 stories that get told across the brands, that get shown on the PLEs, and 2 or 3 other smaller stories as well that can be, you know, completed on Raw and SmackDown, right? That's how I think they should, you know, tell stories. I don't necessarily think we need a draft or brands or branded roster. But we need to do something. Because the product's stale. And it's because we're getting the same matches over and over and over and over and over again. Right? So that's my opening thoughts. So let's move over. We'll talk about Thirsty Tuesday real quick. Again, this is the best celebrities. Some crazy things happened in the last celebrity one. So this week's matchups from Region 1, which are the athletes. We have Maria Sharapova versus Kaylin Kyle. From the musicians, we have Megan Maroney versus Shakira. From the actresses, Region 3, we got Scarlett Johansson, Megan Fox. And then Region 4, miscellaneous, we got Alex Earl versus Kim Kardashian. So those will be up for you guys to vote on starting as soon as the episode gets posted. So let's move to questions from the Discord. And B-Master asked 2 really good questions. These are really good questions, right? The first one he asks is, why did they drop the ball with Karrion Kross? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. As good as this question is, I don't have an answer as to why they did it. But my immediate thought that came to mind when I heard this was, did they actually, let's take the why out of the question, right? Did they drop the ball with Karrion Kross? And my answer is no. I don't think they did. I don't know exactly what the long-term plan for Karrion Kross was, but he's approaching 40, if not already in his 40s, and he has he's very good on the mic. But if you watch him wrestle, he's sort of like LA Knight in that he has a decent moveset. But can I be honest? What made Karrion Kross interesting was his entrance. And can I be even more honest? It was Scarlett. And so once you see that for 3 or 4 years, it's not unique anymore. And there's nothing booking-wise that made him interesting. And so where was the We Want Cross chance 1.5 years ago? They weren't here. And I don't really think that they exist outside of the echo chamber known as the IWC. And really more so the weirdos in the echo chamber, that the Cody crybabies, right? And here's what WWE needs to do, right? Everyone's like, oh, WWE's gaslighting them by saying they were chanting We Want Brock. And maybe they were. Who cares? Again, I don't care about all that. But here's the thing. WWE needs to create a line with the fans when it comes to Karrion Kross. Because you gave in to the mob with the We Want Cody chants. And you gave in to the mob with the We Want Truth chants. Here's the problem, Triple H. Here's the problem, TKO. Here's the problem, WWE. When you give in to the mob, whether it's a work or not, if the mob, being the sickos, the IWC weirdos who cry babies, right? If they get the understanding that you gave in to them, they're going to take the inch that you gave them, they're going to take a whole mile, and eventually they're going to take the whole company, right? You give them an inch, they'll take a mile, then they'll take the whole damn yard, right? And so I think you have to set a line here saying, we do not care how much you want Karrion Kross, you will not get him. I don't see what having him does for the company. He's very replaceable. I do think it's a work. I do. I hope it's not, because I really want WWE to set this precedent that they're not going to give in to the mob anymore. That we tried the mob stuff with Cody Rhodes, and it didn't work. And with R-Truth, and it didn't work. And with Jey Uso, and it didn't work. And with Kofi Mania, and it didn't work. We tried it, and it didn't work. So we're going to do what we have planned backstage. Y'all let us do what we're paid to do. Is what if I'm WWE, that's what I'm. Go out, make a plan, whatever it is. Don't bring Karrion Kross back. I don't think they dropped the ball with Karrion Kross. He did very little on the main roster. Granted, he was given very little. But I think it's because outside of Scarlett, most people don't care about him. He's one of the best on the mic, right? And prior to him signing, I used to listen to Vince Russo's podcast all the time. And Vince Russo and Disco and Ben Hameen, they all know the Northeast very well, right? And they were like, Killer Kross, as he went in on the Indies, would be great in WWE because he could talk. But that's all he can do. He can talk. He can cut a promo very convincingly. But once that bell rings, once the match happens, there's not much going for him. And outside of Scarlett, I don't necessarily see anything special about Karrion Kross. I'm just going to be honest. The second question that he asks, do you see a problem with WWE having business relationships with different promotions? No, I don't. I have zero problem with what WWE is doing with TNA, with AAA, with Pro Wrestling Noah. I have zero issue with it. In fact, that's going to lead me. I'm gonna reserve my answer to the final thought segment, because that's kind of what my final thought segment was about, is how should WWE structure themselves with these working relationships? And so with that being said, I'm going to break this down. I'm going to break this down similar to sort of a MLB developmental system, right? So within baseball, within pro baseball, right, most players get drafted out of high school or first, second year of college. Not even ready for the big leagues, right? So they're 18, 19, 20 years old. Most of them are not ready for the MLB. So they go into the farm system, right, is what they're called, the developmental system, which starts at single A, which is actually broken into low A, high A. And then you have double A, triple A, and then the pros. So I'm going to break this down similar to that. So low A, high A, the single A system, that's rookies, first-year players, 18, 19 years old. It's just to get you reps, right? These are a bunch of 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds who are just there. They need to pick up a bat. They need to put on a glove or be on the pitching mound, and they just need reps. We need to see what you have, right? And to me, that's Evolve. Evolve should be the place where you put the rookies and the new hires within the NIL or WWE ID system. You put them on Evolve, kind of like what they're doing now. Get them some reps, and that's all Evolve is for, right? When they're ready, so in baseball, to continue the analogy, when you're ready to go to double A, again, not very many single A players go to double A, right? The further up the ladder you climb, the less amount of people climb that ladder, right? So, the double A system, right? These people got some potential. I would use this as, you know, the stepping stone to get used to television production of wrestling, right? So I would use TNA, AAA, and Pro Wrestling Noah as your stepping stones, right? So these are, you know, we got some talent. They're new. They're 2-3 years in the game. They have some reps. We know they can wrestle. Now we're going to put them on TV to see if they can put on compelling stories and to get them used to the television production that WWE likes. We'll put them on TNA. We'll put them on AAA. We'll send them to NOAH. Put them on these excursions to Japan and Mexico. Stuff like that, right? Now we're getting to the AAA system. The AAA players, these are players that are ready. A lot of AAA players are ready to play big league ball. There's just not enough roster spots, right? So to me, that's NXT. This is where a lot of people on NXT right now are ready to play ball. They could go to the main roster. Your Saul Rukas, your Trick Williams, right? These guys are the Obafemis, Tony D's, I think even Stax is ready. I think there's a lot of people in NXT right now who are ready for the main roster. There's just not any spots left, right? That's AAA ball. That's NXT. These guys are ready. They're ready to play big league ball. They're just waiting for their opportunity. And then you have your big league ball, your major leagues, the clubs we all know of, the San Francisco Giants, the LA Dodgers, the Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, the Braves, you know, those teams like that, right? That's your main roster. That's your Raw or SmackDown. These are where the biggest stars play, right? And I think that there should be, I don't want to say promotion, demotion, because I don't necessarily think that benefits wrestling to say, well, if you don't, like, I don't want it run like soccer where, like, you get demoted if you lose so many matches. I think that's stupid. But what I do think is important is having main roster people, like they're already doing now with NXT, is I would treat NXT as sort of like equal to, but not exactly, the main roster. But it's the test. Like, so I would say, like they're doing now with Nia Jax, right? Or since people who aren't being used on the main roster down to NXT, like they did with Ridge Holland, or like they did with Mandy Rose, or like they did with Dolph Ziggler, right? I think that's very useful as well. I think that's how WWE should structure themselves with these working relationships. It's using them as developmental systems and stepping stones, and not necessarily just the AEW way of partnerships of, we just want to take your best talent. Like, because I want to talk about it this way, because you could do it the AEW way with how they do it with New Japan, where they run Forbidden Door every year, and they say, oh, New Japan's getting great influence, until you're coming to Forbidden Door, which is 2 weeks away. It's, I think, 12 days away. I think, if I have the date right, it's on the 24th. It's 12 days away from as I'm recording this. And there's very little that has been booked for it. And a lot of people are like questioning, like, why is the Forbidden Door not opening? Because you already took all the talent from New Japan. All the talent that would have gotten big pops from New Japan or CMLL or any of the bigger companies is already signed to AEW. Right, and can I just say something? This is just my opinion. The very same thing that these nerds and the AEW fan base say that WWE was going to do and scourge scavenge the indies and sign them all is exactly what Tony Khan is doing. WWE doesn't have to do it because Tony Khan is doing it. He's just going to get them in 4 years. Like he did with Ricky Saints. Right? I just... This is my personal opinion. But, yeah. That's the episode. Let me know what you guys think. Thank you all for listening in. Don't forget to like, share, subscribe. Go to the social media links again. If you are on social media, if you're on Facebook, Slapping Meat Entertainment is the name of the page. On X, it's at Slapping Meat. And that's for the podcast. Thanks again for listening. Let me know what you feel, what you think. Leave us a review. Join the Discord page. And if you are an AEW fan or want to listen to a what's supposed to be a AEW-friendly podcast, Junkyard Media Group has one of those. And on the Junkyard Media Group YouTube page, that is Beyond the Junkyard Live, 9 p.m.-ish Eastern time, because they do start late most of the time. It's Junkyard James, my brother, and my best friend Cody. They are supposedly talking AEW this week. So go and check that out if you're a fan of that. If not, you still join the Discord, join the conversation. Tune in Friday. We got another episode of Slapping Meat Wrestling Podcast. And we got an episode of Slapping Meat Gridiron. Again, talking about the New England Patriots dynasty. So check those out. Like, share, subscribe. Tell your friends. Thanks for everything. And I will see you on the next episode. So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEW, WWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay, Slapping Meat Wrestling every Tuesday.